talk now about the COVID vaccine and its impact on pregnancy. Last night's NPHET briefing heard reassurances given to pregnant women about the effect that the jab has on them. In a moment, we will speak to the chair of the Institute of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists. But first, here is consultant rheumatologist Dr. Laura Durkin, who got the vaccine last December. She spoke to us last night.
I am currently 37 weeks pregnant. I was lucky enough to be offered the vaccine kind of in the first rollout with healthcare professionals. And look, you know, it's always a personal decision based on kind of the risks and benefits. But for me, I was working in a high risk environment. Loads of my colleagues had been unwell. I'd looked after quite a bit of COVID and I'd seen lots of sick COVID. And I had full insight into what an awful disease it can be. And I was very conscious that I wanted to be safe at work, that I wanted my baby to be safe while I continued to work, and I wanted to still be able to look after the children that I have at home. Now, I did lots of reading on the kind of mechanisms of the vaccine. I did lots of reading on the clinical trials. I suppose I went into it really making the best informed decision that I could make. And yeah, I had the vaccine, not a single side effect. It really was something that lifted the burden of worry from me about COVID once I was a couple of weeks out from that dose, and that has continued to be the case. So I was very happy with the decision that I made.
Dr. Laura Durkin there. Well, we are joined now by Dr. Cliona Murphy, who is chair of the Institute of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists. Dr. Murphy, you're very welcome to the program. The vaccine wasn't trialled on pregnant women. So how do you know that it is safe?
So pregnant women weren't given the opportunity to become involved in the vaccine studies in the beginning. So that obviously is an issue. And we have less information on outcomes in pregnancy as regards safety and efficacy. We do know, that the trials themselves encompass quite a large number of people, so 20,000 in each arm. And we do know that a small number of women were included who didn't realise they were pregnant at the time. And we have not heard of adverse effects in these women, but there would be sort of 10 in the placebo arm and 11 in the active arm that was in the Pfizer trial. Since vaccination began in the US, there was a big movement really by the professional organisations, Society for Maternal and Fetal Medicine, to say that, you cannot exclude pregnant women just because they're pregnant and because we don't have as much information. They're at risk as well as their other non-pregnant healthcare workers. So it was opened up when there was no theoretical risk. There were no risks from animal studies identified. It's important to note that none of the manufacturers have said it's contraindicated in pregnancy, mm-hmm. which is different to some other medications, obviously. And since then, we in Ireland have quite a bit of information now since vaccination rolled out in the US because of their population, a large number of these healthcare workers took the vaccine. At this point, about 30,000 have been vaccinated and they have started collecting observational data. So there is a registry called the VSAFE US registry, and they've started collecting data. And so far, there have been no adverse outcomes over and above what one would expect from the population.
Okay, so that worry that women may have about impacting the actual pregnancy, there's no reason to worry that getting the vaccine may end the pregnancy.
No, there's no increase in miscarriage or stillbirth in the groups who've had vaccination so far. Now, that's not to say we have all the information we would like to have. Obviously, it would have been better if there were women included in trials or they had more information. But, the reproductive studies in animals haven't shown any worries. Oh. We have no theoretical risk. So, the injection, there's no change to somebody's DNA. The way the vaccines work, they trick your body into developing an antibody to this horrible virus. And then when you are confronted with it later on, you have the tools to fight off the virus. And then there is probably a positive benefit to your baby where these antibodies could be available to your baby later on. So that's a possible benefit.
And the other worry that women have, Dr. Murphy, is that it may cause infertility in later life? I mean, is there any evidence of that?
None whatsoever. I would like to be very clear about that. We know lots now about COVID and its horrible effects on, you know, both short term and long term. And we know that older age are at more risk, but we've seen this occur in young people. There's no evidence at all that taking any of the vaccines affects a woman's future ability to conceive or to continue a pregnancy. And again, you know, these studies done in animals haven't shown, and they have a shorter reproductive life than we have, if you like, haven't raised any concerns. And I really would like to get out there that we recommend all those of reproductive age take the COVID-19 vaccine as it becomes available. And obviously, yeah,
but that might be months away. Is your message this morning, it's more dangerous to get COVID than it
absolutely
is to get the vaccine for pregnant women?
And I suppose for those who maybe have, you know, special histories, you know, somebody who's a history of recurrent miscarriages or, you know, has had a difficult time before, again, for those, there's no reason to avoid the vaccine. And there's a lot of women in this country and couples in this country who would be planning for IVF. And for those, they could make the choice to wait to have both, you know, both shots. But for somebody planning now, if they haven't been offered the vaccine, go ahead and have the IVF. It is safe to commence IVF a few days after the second dose. So, you know, people don't have to wait a long time either.
Okay. And just a final question to you about the virus itself, the COVID-19 virus, mm-hmm. and infertility in men. Is there evidence to support any link there?
Well, we know in the past that any viral illness can affect fertility in men. It can affect the sperm quality. And we think that that's to do with getting sick and a temperature. And there are some small studies saying that there's a negative effect on fertility in men in that way, in men who've been quite sick with it. Now, we don't have, obviously, the long-term studies on that. And in men, you know, sperm quality can be bad 1 month and improve a few months after that. But again, I think it's another reason to welcome vaccination and not to run the risk of getting COVID.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Cliona Murphy, Chair of the Institute of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. It's 7:26.